This podcast is brought to you by the new site, EdenPureHowie.com. Save $20 on any of their products, plus get free shipping. Go to EdenPureHowie.com and put in code word MYDEALS. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up, named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
And we're back. I'm Holly Robichaud, filling in for Grace Curley on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. And joining us in studio is Mark Salinas from Silva and Salinas.
Silva Salinas, yes.
Silva Salinas. Tongue twister on that one. Hey, if you want to be part of the conversation, give us a call at 844-500-4242. And as you know, Mark is the legal expert for the Grace Curley Show, and we're glad to have him because there's so much happening on the legal front, and everybody's dying to know, why hasn't this judge declared a mistrial? We had MSDNC, as I call them, following the jurors. And that's intimidation. Why hasn't the judge said, that's it?
Every day, Holly, it's something new. It's just getting piled on and on and on as to more reasons to declare a mistrial here. I mean, we've had issues with the prosecutor and whether or not there's prosecutorial misconduct. Now we have issues with people banging drums outside trying to intimidate the jurors. And on top of that, we learn now that we have media outlets following the jury in the bus. It's just unbelievable. So, you know, the defense is, I'm sure, preparing motions right now that will be submitted before the jury comes back, and even post-trial motions asking for this mistrial. And I was thinking about this, you know, why hasn't the judge done anything yet? And it could very well be that he's just waiting for the jury to do their work and come down with their verdict. And if the jury comes back with a not guilty, then we don't really have to even address this issue. But if the jury does come back guilty, the judge still has some options available to him on defense motions to either declare a mistrial or even perhaps set aside the verdict.
But I'm thinking, shouldn't he just get it over with at this point?
You know, that's the first instinct, but it's better to let the jury come to their own conclusion, because I think that the public will accept that better than the judge taking it into his own hands.
Well, what if the jury comes back and says guilty?
Well,
and then the judge sets it aside. Doesn't that ramp up the more likely that we're going to have violence in the streets and more protests?
It does. But I guess I would characterize it this way, Holly. It's probably the lesser of two evils in that scenario, because that way the judge is taking remedial measure to correct something rather than taking it away from the jury. You never want this perception that the judiciary is taking away the function of the jury to find the truth. So I got a feeling here that this judge has his own perspective of the evidence and thinks perhaps the jury is going to do the right thing here.
Okay. A lot of other people are asking, should the prosecutors be disbarred for withholding evidence?
I would be concerned, because that comes up with this most recent thing with the drone footage. And so for the listeners that may or may not know, there was drone footage that dealt with the first person whom Rittenhouse shot and killed. And so what that drone footage depicts is there is Mr. Rosenbaum chasing Mr. Rittenhouse, and eventually he turns around and shoots Mr. Rosenbaum. And this is all covered in drone footage. Now, inexplicably, the prosecution sends this drone footage in a text message, apparently, and it didn't show anything very clear at all. But the prosecutors not only had a clearer video, they had clearer videos with artificial intelligence. And so it made everything much, much clearer. And by the time they gave it to the defense attorneys, there was nothing they can do about it. Let me just tell you how outrageous this is. They used AI. And for those that don't know, what that would do is they get an expert in video to be able to take that footage and fill in details, make things up. We're talking about a crime that's going to be determined on split seconds and what the jury is able to see. And the defense lawyers didn't have the whole picture. It's outrageous.
I can't believe that, once again, why isn't the judge saying, the kid, he's allowed to have the best possible defense. And they didn't allow him to do that.
I think that there are plenty of very, very bright legal minds that would agree with you 100%. And if this judge declared a mistrial, I think that many people that understand the trial process, people that understand the appellate process, would understand why the judge did it and would support that the judge did it. But however, I think that the judge is very, very careful, as I said before, that the main goal here is to have the jury do their job and do it correctly if they can. If they don't, the judge still has options.
Judge still has options. So are you thinking that the judge thinks he's innocent and that's why he's holding out on this?
Well, it's not the judge's determination to determine the facts of the case. That's in the sole province of the jury, okay? But what the judge does, the judge is a referee, and he's there to make sure that all the sides play fairly and according to the law. And if the defendant is deprived any of his rights, his constitutional rights, or his case is prejudiced in a way that he's convicted as a result of some type of misconduct, he can fix it. And that's what I think he's waiting to do.
Okay. All right. Now, you have a breakdown. What are the charges that he's facing? And could you see that he could get off on some of them and then be convicted of others?
That's entirely possible. And that was my concern on this case from the very beginning, is that the jury could sit here and take a look at it and say, hey, you know what? Two out of three of these, we agree there was self-defense, but maybe because we're under pressure, we're going to maybe convict him of just one. So what he's facing is he's facing a first-degree reckless homicide charge for the first person whom he shot and killed. That was Mr. Rosenbaum. You'll recall Mr. Rosenbaum chases Mr. Rittenhouse, corners him in a parking lot, and Mr. Rittenhouse shoot and kills him. That carries with it up to 60 years. It's first-degree reckless homicide. It's not intentional homicide, so it's one step lower. And I think that the reason they charge it that way is because they really couldn't get inside the head of Mr. Rittenhouse and say, did he have the intent to kill? The other charge is there's a first-degree reckless endangerment. It's a lesser charge against Mr. Rosenbaum again. The most serious charge we have here deals with Mr. Huber. Mr. Huber is the skateboard guy. Mr. Huber chases Mr. Rittenhouse and starts bashing him in the head with the skateboard. Mr. Rittenhouse shoots and kills Mr. Huber. He's charged with first-degree intentional homicide. That carries with it a mandatory life sentence. If he's convicted of that, it's mandatory life.
So that, how could that be premeditated?
Well, you know, that's the question that the jury has to determine. And so premeditation doesn't have to be something where you're planning out for weeks or months or anything. It can be an instant in time. It can be the amount of time it takes you to take a baseball bat and swing it behind your head and bring it back down. That could be the necessary intent.
That's premeditated?
That could be premeditation.
I always thought it was like when you planned a murder.
Most people do, but no, the law says that premeditation, all you need is the amount of time to appreciate what your actions are and make a conscious decision to follow through with it. And that's what the prosecution is banking on here to get that first degree intentional homicide charge. The other victim was Gage Grosskreutz, as you know. He's the individual that was in the unfortunate situation, as in his words, having his bicep vaporized. Well, you know, Carl Rittenhouse shot him, but at that point, Mr. Grosskreutz had a 9mm handgun pointed right at him. He's charged with attempted first-degree homicide. That carries with it up to 60 years in prison. And then there's another with Jump Kick Man. That was a weird charge there. We don't really need to get into that. Those are the major charges. So he's facing potential life imprisonment if he's convicted on...
Plus some.
Yeah, absolutely. Plus, absolutely. And if he's convicted of all these, you can add them all on top of each other, but that's really just piling it on.
What I look at this case and I say, what happens if he is convicted? What does that do to people saying their self-defense?
I think it would give anyone pause as to whether or not they can ever use self-defense and rely upon that. There are many, many Americans who exercise their Second Amendment rights. They carry guns on a regular basis. You'd be surprised how many people do. And I think that, you know, people are going to see this and say, well, at what point can I actually exercise my right to self-defense? How many times do I need to get banged on the head with a skateboard before I defend my life? It would set a terrible precedent, in my opinion.
Well, yeah, but I would think if you're at home and somebody breaks into your house, you're now going to have a second thought on protecting your home.
There is. Now, you know, that's a little bit easier a case, I would suggest. You know, if you're in your home and somebody's coming through your house, at that point, I think a jury would look at that and say, you know what, if you end up getting shot, you had what's coming to you, and that's pure self-defense. But what I'm really concerned about is anybody that's out there trying to protect themselves, they're working late, going through a parking lot, and they get jumped by somebody, pushed down, and they start getting hit, and then at what point can they defend themselves? I'll tell you what, prosecutors have no problem charging people with assault with a dangerous weapon and call anything a dangerous weapon, be it a skateboard, be it a bat, be it just a shoe.
I mean, now it's a skateboard, right? Well, the prosecutors had were downplaying the whole skateboard.
Oh, that.
But
you know,
if Rittenhouse had used a skateboard to hurt the other guy, it would be a dangerous weapon.
Don't overlook the jury's impression of the personalities of the lawyers involved in this case. And everybody I've talked to, even people that don't believe that Rittenhouse should have done what he did, talk about the prosecutor, and in particular the prosecutor talking about the skateboard and mocking the whole situation, saying, oh, it's just a skateboard. Well, you know what? If they were prosecuting that individual, it'd be a whole different story. And I think everybody realizes how hypocritical that is.
Well, it's only a skateboard.
Just a skateboard.
He just lit the trash dumpster on fire. Those things happen all the time, Mark. What's the matter with you?
I know. Well, we don't see it here, thank God, and I hope that we never do. But I tell you, you know, how can you not be concerned about what's going on in Kenosha right now? And the media is not helping anything. I watched some of the news stations last night, and they're all but just inciting this violence. I listened to, you know, what Joy Reid saying.
Oh.
Everything is race. Absolutely everything is race. And she keeps on pushing this narrative. Last I checked, everybody involved in this case is white. The vast majority of the jurors is white. There is no element whatsoever of race in this case.
No, I don't get why they're pushing the race issue in this. So, because it's like how he talks about climate change as a religion. Racism's becoming a religion.
It really is. It's like a cult. It is. Everything has to be racism.
Racism. Well, Mark, can you hang on?
Sure.
I know there's a lot of people with more questions, and so we'd love to talk to you further about this case. I hope the verdict comes in soon. So
I'm going to stay close regardless.
All right. I'm Holly Robichaud. We'll be right back after this short break.
She's never held office, but she paid the Whiskey Priest's monthly rent once. She's Grace Curley. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
And we're back. We're back, and we got Mark Salinas in studio with us. But before we go to more talk about the Kyle Rittenhouse trial, we've got to do today's poll question, which is brought to you by Kennedy Carpet. Howie has used Kennedy Carpets for decades, and I'm going to make a visit there very soon. For all of your flooring needs and carpet cleaning, go to kennedycarpet.com today. Jared, what is the poll question?
Biden wants the FTC to investigate oil companies for the rising cost of gas. Does he think we're that stupid, or is he that clueless?
Okay, well, first I got to ask our guest, Mark, clueless or stupid?
I'm going to go clueless.
Oh, he's clueless. Okay, all right. We both went stupid today.
We certainly did. He's that clueless, is polling at 44%.
Ooh, it's gaining. It's
close. And he thinks we're that stupid at 56%.
All right.
Tough call, isn't it?
I mean,
that's a really good poll question.
I think so. I mean, he's doing this investigation on gas prices. I mean, come on.
Unreal. I mean, but he's a car guy, Holly. You know that. He's a car guy.
Yeah, I saw him driving yesterday.
Yeah, the electric.
You know the thing.
I think they should have double-checked his license to see if he's allowed
to wonder if he is licensed. I'm not sure. He's probably had a driver for quite some time.
I wouldn't want him on the road.
Yeah, how's his CDL doing?
Yeah. So, okay. So I had a couple questions for you. Now, with what MSDNC has done, that's clearly jury tampering, trying to intimidate. Can they be sued or held accountable in any way for what they've done?
You know, Holly, I'm typically very measured in my responses with those type of questions, but I'm going to say, you know, it's just been so crazy and so outrageous what the media has said about Mr. Rittenhouse. I think that any media outlet that's pushing this narrative that Mr. Rittenhouse is a white supremacist or is motivated by white supremacy in any type of way, and especially continues to do it at this point, is absolutely subject to some liability. And I'm sure Mr. Rittenhouse will bring that lawsuit.
All right. If you were Kyle's attorney, after this is all over, he gets a not guilty verdict, who would you turn around and sue? Would you sue, or would you just kind of say to your client, just disappear, let this get this done?
Ordinarily, you know, I would counsel my client and figure out what's the best way for them to go on with their lives, because that's really what anybody wants. But unfortunately with Mr. Rittenhouse, where his entire life is played out before the national media, he doesn't really have that option. So, you know, my advice to him is I would look at the people who have harmed his reputation the most as a result of their lies, and I would go after them with civil lawsuits, and I would look for money damages, much like Mr. Sandman did quite successfully. You recall that
yep.
He was painted by the media as being some racially motivated because he was in front of an elder and wearing his MAGA hat.
Yep.
Well, you know what? The courts looked at that, and he put a pretty good lawsuit together. The settlements have been undisclosed, but they've settled, and they paid money.
A lot of money.
They did. There's no doubt about it.
Okay. Now, what about, so say he's found innocent today. Can the families of the victims turn around and sue him civilly?
They can. It's an entirely different analysis altogether. I guess the most analogous case would be the O.J. Simpson case, right?
Right.
He was found not guilty criminally, but the families of Nicole Brown Simpson brought lawsuits against Mr. Simpson
yep.
and ultimately prevailed. So Mr. Rittenhouse is not entirely out of the woods yet. But the difference with Mr. Rittenhouse and then Mr. Simpson, of course, is that Mr. Simpson was probably worth a lot of money at the time.
Yeah.
And there was the ability to collect against any type of civil judgment. Whereas with Mr. Rittenhouse, he's 17 years old. His whole life is in front of him, albeit entirely changed now. You know, you would get a verdict against him potentially. But what's that verdict worth? It's just something on paper.
Well, couldn't they do any money he earns in the big?
In theory, they could.
I imagine, you know, if he gets off today, that an interview with him would be worth a lot of money.
Sure, in theory, they could. If any of these people whom were injured or killed by Mr. Rittenhouse were successful in a civil lawsuit, that judgment would be good for an extended period of time. Every state's different how long it's good for. But of course, you know, Mr. Rittenhouse, if I was his attorney, I'd be looking very closely at countersuits, right? I mean, he could come back and say the only reason I was in this situation was because you caused it, right? And so just from a civil perspective, he has the same type of defenses that he does in a criminal case. They're applied a little bit differently. And I'd say, okay, well, you know what? I'm also going to sue you for, you know, bashing me in the head with a skateboard, chasing me, causing me emotional distress.
Yep.
You know, it's all in play.
Okay. All right. Well, I was wondering about that. I'm hoping he gets some justice, and I would love to see him sue some of these outlets that have called him white supremacists and take him to the cleaners.
Even if Mr. Rittenhouse is found guilty for committing any type of crimes, that doesn't excuse the media's portrayal of him. I mean, it's not even arguably close. I haven't been able to hear one person rationally explain to me why there is a race aspect to this trial and why Mr. Rittenhouse is racist, other than the fact that it was said early on that you had the now president of the United States endorse it, and that you had other media outlets run with it.
Yeah. Hey, Mark, how do people get in touch with you?
SildaSalinas.com. Our law firm is up in North Andover. You can call us anytime.
All right. Thank you so much. Love the insight today. I'm Holly Robichaud, filling in for Grace Curley today. We'll be right back after this short break.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
We're back. I'm Holly Robichaud, filling in for Grace Curley on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. If you want to be part of the discussion, give us a call at 844-500-4242. And I just got a quick question for you. Are you smarter than a Democrat? Are you smarter than a Democrat? And if you're not a Democrat, then you're probably a pretty smart person. And you should. And as I said when I first began today, You should consider running for office. We cannot beat Democrats if we don't have candidates. And let's not let the red wave pass Massachusetts. So going on that theme, are you smarter than a Democrat? Let's go to clip 8, Jared.
The oil era will be over if we pass this bill. We will be able to say to each and every one of those countries that business as usual has ended. So for the babies and the grandparents who died in our country in just the last couple of months, for our national security, for our economic well-being, it is imperative that we pass this legislation before Christmas.
I don't get it.
The oil era will be over if we pass this bill.
The oil era.
Which has to do with...
So are we all going to then be like Fred Flintstone, yabba-dabba-doing, pedaling our cars?
I just find it amazing that the federal government shut off access to a necessary product in order to push an agenda to buy a product that they are going to profit off of.
Right.
This is like Obamacare on wheels. Like,
yes.
It astounds me.
They use anything to justify climate change. It's not global warming. It's climate change. And they wonder why the price of gas is going up. And they play these just, this is crazy mind games. Let's go to clip number 9. Are you smarter than a Democrat? Ed Markey, once again.
Right now, oil companies are taking American consumers and shaking them upside down at gas pumps all across our country, while simultaneously sending a signal to the Republican Party to kill Build Back Better.
Can I see some citation on that, sir?
Right. Can somebody show me where the oil companies are doing that? And the person, Senator Markey, that's shaking people upside down at the gas pumps, are you and the president of the United States? Thank you. I am correct on that one. I got woke and joke wrong, but that one I am correct on. Look, when you cancel oil leases, when you stop pipelines, what do you think is going to happen? What do you think is going to happen? The price of gas goes up. Now, I got a kick out of this story. New Yorkers sound off of why the congestion pricing is going ahead in New York City. So what they're doing is they are going to institute this congestion pricing. So if you're driving when everybody else is driving, they're going to charge you. And the poor people of New York City are, if you're driving into New York City, if you're driving into Manhattan, the Central District below 60th Street, they are going to raise your taxes. So it's going to be a cost, get this, congestion pricing, $25 to $35 for driving during, having to go to work. That's a lot. And the people in New York are saying, wait a minute, why are you doing this? We just got all this money from the federal government. And so you've got this extra cash. Why do you need to raise this? And they're like, well, because the world is going to end if we do not start charging this. Climate change, climate change, climate change. And other people are like, well, we can't afford this. Here's one of the people. I don't think so. It's too much money as it is to go into New York City. So to charge us to drive into the city at certain hours, I think that's robbery. They shouldn't allow it to happen.
That is robbery.
It is.
That is straight robbery. That is what the government is doing.
Well, I mean, to drive over the George Washington Bridge, isn't it something like $18 in tolls
at
this point?
I don't know exactly what it is, but I remember when I drove to New York a couple of years ago, I had a $14 toll at the state line.
It's gone up. It's gone up.
So I'm sure it's got to have gone up by then.
It's gone, and that's a terrible bridge. Where does that money go? It's like Massachusetts. They charge you all this money, and yet you don't see it. I mean, that bridge scares me. And I recently went over it, and I had to give an expense report because I drove down, and they don't give you the... You pay, you just go through and they charge you, and they don't give you a receipt for it.
And by the way, this is coming to a Mass Pike near you soon. So
right, right. And so,
take note.
Yeah. This is what Baker wants to do, this congestion pricing. And this is what's going to happen to your wallets. $25, $25 to $35. I mean, personally, I think they should be paying us to think about driving into Boston.
Well,
have you tried to drive in there? It's terrible.
Yeah, I had to drive through there the other day, and it was terrible.
Right.
But the logic
shouldn't
is,
they give us money to drive to put up with that?
The logic on this is so backwards and astounding. If the issue is that there are too many, that's hypothetically, the issue is there are too many cars, there is too much exhaust, it is bad, so we're going to charge people who decide to drive. Well, if you want people not to drive, to not produce this exhaust, which seems to be the end game
right.
of this policy,
yep.
why not offer people incentives not to drive or offer them a break on these tolls and taxes if they do a separate time? People are more likely to respond to that than just basically getting whacked over the head on a high. This is literal highway robbery like it used to
be. It is highway robbery.
They're jumping
it's
down.
It's highway
yes,
robbery.
Bill de Blasio and his goons are jumping down from the covered bridge and whacking you with a sock full of nuts or something.
Yeah. So these just some of the crazy stuff that the Democrats are proposing. Okay, I have to go to clip 10 from Ed Markey. This one, yikes.
We can see the human toll, the lives lost, the homes destroyed, the businesses with shuttered doors, the families displaced, babies that have drowned in New Jersey, grandparents frozen to death in Texas. Climate action is a matter of life and death.
That is false.
If the end of the world is coming, then, like Howie says, why did Biden buy, why didn't Obama, why did he buy on the shore? Why did he buy a Martha's Vineyard? Isn't going to get swamped, but it's a matter of life and death. We've had storms, Senator Markey, for forever. We've had storms. Just want to put it out there.
And I don't want to beat a dead horse here, but could we have some proof of these babies that drowned in New Jersey during this last storm? I think I would have heard about that.
How about frozen grandparents?
Right, yeah. Can we please get some citation? Can we get some proof evidence?
I thought Brian was gone.
Yes, Brian Williams, please give us this evidence.
It sounds like did he get this information from Brian Williams?
Nature abhors a vacuum. I guess Marky's trying out for a role at NBC.
Okay. So just for fun, to cheer everybody up, let's go to a couple funny Biden clips. Let's go to number 5.
You know, Pat, you and I used to discuss this all the time in judiciary 120 years ago here, but the truth is, you know.
Now, that could be a woke or joke. Do you think that he was making a joke or, well, it should be a joke or he doesn't know?
With Joe, it's a sleep or a joke.
Yeah, sleep or a joke. Do you think he knew like 120 years ago? What do you think, Jared?
I think he was trying to make a joke about their combined age. And just kind of like, oh, you know, I'm just good old Joe. I know I'm old. We go way back.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe not so much. Let's play clip number 7.
So that if, God forbid, their family gets that call, they don't also lose their house, their car, and are left bereft in terms of economic capacity.
Capacity?
Chichia?
Chichia. I haven't seen a chichia pet for Biden. Have you?
I have not yet, but I think we need one.
I was in Walmart. I did see some, but I did not see one for Biden. That one, the hair wouldn't grow. The stuff wouldn't grow on the outside. It grew on the inside because it's all fuzzy and empty in there. That's my thought on it. Okay, let's go to number 3. Just to once again cheer. This is the leader of the free nation,
and Todd Young and Tom Tillis, Representative David Trone and Russian Thrower. There you are. I was looking around. I didn't see you. I apologize.
Okay. All right. Another, this just makes you sleep at night thinking we're so safe. Let's go to clip number three.
And Todd Young and Tom Tillis, Representative
Is that three or number four?
Yeah, three we just played. Let's play
okay,
four.
Okay, four. Sorry.
The third and final bill I'll sign is named Jaime Zappa and Victor, Avrila. I didn't want to mispronounce it. I hope I pronounced it correctly because it's important.
Jared, when I don't know how to pronounce somebody's name, I usually ask you,
yes.
What is that?
I'm just surprised you didn't say Frank Zappa. Or Dweezil Zappa. One of the Zappas.
This guy.
Is the Moon Unit Zappa? Wasn't that the sister?
Yeah, I can't play these clips tomorrow because then I will never sleep again. This is the leader of the free world. This keeps me up at night. And we should do a segment. Is it joke or is he just that far gone?
A wound that is imposed on your mind is no different than if you broke your arm or got shot in the leg.
And I think imposed on my mind.
Yeah, well, I do think my chia pet idea is correct, that it grows on the inside, not on the outside. I'm Holly Robichaud, filling in for Grace Curley. We'll be right back with the car crossover. Stay tuned for Howie Carr.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley, she's working for you.
I'm like Bette Midler in For the Boys. I've got to keep the troops entertained.
Thankfully, the murderers remain in prison, convicted of other incidents stemming from that same incident.
What? I don't understand, Tim. Hey, I'm Holly Robichaud, filling in for Grace Curley on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. And we've got Howie Carr joining us for the car crossover. Today's car crossover is brought to you by Fairway Financial. Preparation and planning is the key to your retirement future. Visit fairwayfinancial.net. Good afternoon, Howie. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Holly.
All right. So we actually have comparable weather today. It's beautiful up here. But what's going on in the world, not so good. Did you see Jen Psaki saying that the Republicans are rooting for inflation? We're rooting for inflation. I wasn't part of that secret meeting on that.
She also said that no economists have said that this would cause inflation, which, you know, I mean, Larry Summers is, you know, he used to be the Treasury Secretary. He was president of Harvard University, and he said it from day one. Now you got this guy, Steve Rattner. He was an Obama guy. He used to work for the New York Times. I mean, he said he wrote an op-ed piece for the New York Times saying the same thing. I think you could call him an economist.
Well, do they put a pre-qualifier on? No economist that's in the 6 feet area myself says this, right? I mean, is that the only way she could possibly say that with a straight face?
Well, I don't know. Is this woman that's up before the Senate today, Omarova, is she an economist? She knows how to fight inflation. You shoplift.
Yeah.
She's in a communist.
Yeah. You know, I had to look it up. I thought it was Karl Marx who said property is theft. She was obviously going by her mentor. But it turns out it's a French anarchist who came up with property is theft. But I think communists generally believe that. So, you know. I read the whole police report. You know, she's a classic shoplifter. You know, she comes in with a huge purse, puts the purse in the shopping cart, and then, you know, gets like two or three little items worth a couple of bucks, you know, and puts them, you know, to the side of the purse, and then stuffs all the stuff she's planning to steal, all the scarves and the shoes and the cologne, into the purse. Didn't work out. Might have worked in Russia, where she was from, but it didn't work too well in Madison, Wisconsin.
She'll fit right well in D.C., Howie.
Yeah,
they're used to ripping people off.
Certainly in the Biden administration. And Senator Kennedy had the great line of the day. He said, should I call you professor or comrade?
And then Joe Biden is, he is going to solve the oil problem, the gas prices problem. Howie, I'm sleeping so much better. He is going to have the FTC investigate the oil companies. He's getting to the bottom of it.
I know. We played the cut yesterday from Mr. Frosty, Ed Markey. He said the oil companies have been screwing the people at the gas pumps. And I said, wait a second, why did it only start when Biden became president? I thought Trump was the one who was in the pockets of the major corporations. He had the gas prices down to $1.80 a gallon. And now, in California, they're over $5. So why did the oil companies start running amok when Biden became president? I don't understand that. I'm not waiting for Mr. Frosty to explain it to me.
Okay.
Either.
Well, are you going to wait for this FTC investigation? Do you think they'll come back and say, well, when you cancel oil lines and cancel oil leases, that's kind of the cause of it, Mr. President?
You know, there's certain phrases that make your eyes glaze over. Windfall profits is one of those phrases. It's kind of like, for the children.
For the children, yes. Well, they'll be blaming the oil companies, and the oil companies are like, we're just trying to exist here. Did you see the Massachusetts State Senate still seems to be under attack by COVID? They're not going to be meeting in person. They can still vote remotely till March 31st.
I'm confused. Did you see the picture of Nancy Pelosi maskless at a bar called The Swingers in D.C.? And you know, I know they're lifting the indoor mask ban, but it's not till Monday. You know, and we've talked about this for 2 years now, almost, how they negotiate these truces with COVID, and they go into full mask mandate or social distancing 8 days later, 10 days later. And we all know it's BS. But Nancy Pelosi is finding people like Marjorie Taylor Greene or Green Taylor. Well, you know, if she believes it in the House, then she's in the Capitol. She's got to believe it in the swingers bar.
I would think so. But the White House is still going to be under their mask mandate, even though that D.C.'s lifting it. So,
and even though Joe can never remember whether to have a mask on or not, and has to be reminded by Senator Shermer, as the White House announcer calls him.
Yes, well, he can't pronounce any names. Why would you expect anybody else to pronounce any names correctly? Hey, thanks, Howie, for the crossover. Look forward to talking to you again tomorrow. Looking forward to your great show this afternoon. Thanks,
All
Howie.
All right, see you later. Bye.
I'm Holly Robichaud, filling in for Grace Curley today.